and welcome to episode 241 of Checkpoint Chat. My audio levels are low and the day is starting off well. My name is Alessandro Bobas. I'm joined by Matthew Figuera.
Why
are your audio levels low?
Oh, is that a bad thing if they're low?
Well, I don't know. I'm just looking now at the peaks and they look low, but then again, it's because like the window is very small and I don't know.
You sounded very crackly initially and I thought that, are you not too loud? Are you coming through a bit?
Oh, really?
But distorted, but it's fun. Mm.
The wonders of
modern technology.
You know, modern podcasting.
Let me pull back the curtain here, because this will blow your mind as well. So for those
careful,
of you don't know,
careful. Are the curtains also double layered?
No, I'm not pulling back those curtains. It's pitch black out there. No,
it would be perfect. It's contrast. Then you don't even need to have them closed.
I'm gonna divert a little bit. I would keep the blinds open now. The problem is the sun does come up. Well, you know, daylight happens in the next 2 hours, and then it does.
Yeah.
This
is London.
Actual
no sun.
Yeah, it's fake. It's a lie. What I was going to say is that it's weird that, so for those of you who don't know, this is our process. Okay. So Alessandro gets the audio. I record audio my side. He records audio his side. He edits and cleans it up, combines the two, and then uploads it to, it's not Anchor. It's called Podcasters by Spotify. Mm-hmm. And then
used to be called Anchor. Spotify bought them.
Previously, Spotify never had video, so Alessandro would do the audio and then I would do the video on YouTube. But now Spotify supports video, so I basically grab that audio, slap on video, and then I re-upload. But what I've noticed is strange is that your episode, your audio-only episode, and my video-only episode usually has a difference of like a minute. And
interesting.
Don't know if it's because it's an hour and a half typically, and there's like the one's audio track is just slightly longer. Like if one
sure,
is
but
playing,
a minute is a lot.
But I mean, if one's audio is playing at like 100% speed and the other one's like 99%, you know what I mean? Like it could lose a minute over that hour and a half, and you will never pick it up.
I guess also now when I'm uploading audio, I'm not trimming the start and finish. I used to.
But even then, when it was just the episode, it'd still be a gap of like 10 to 20 seconds, which is just so strange to me. But it is, one's probably just slightly faster than the other and we would never pick it up because, it still sounds the same.
That's strange.
We've pulled back the curtain. We're going to close it now. Can't let you.
I mean, it makes my life easier because essentially the audio is all coming from one upload now. So that does help in a way. Peculiar. There's so many things. We've been doing this for so long and there's so many things that I still wish I understood more of. You know what I mean?
Like your co-host.
I listen to
What's
a lot
up
of
that guy.
Well, yeah. Fuck. Like there's so many podcasts to listen to and they use all this like very advanced equipment and stuff like that. And I think a lot of that is like it's stuff that is useful for both podcasting and live streaming. So it's a bit like overkill for what we do.
Yeah.
But there's still like things like I listen to people every now and then, they go into like the specifics of their setup. And I'm just like, I don't understand half of what you're talking about. Like, I don't understand why I'd need this or that or this or that. But maybe that's why so many other podcasts sound technically like better. I wish I understood that stuff better.
There's
a degree in engineering has not helped in that regard. So.
I mean, you know, I've learned, I suppose it's also more the audio side of like, if I record it the wrong,
sample rate.
If it's even just slightly different, it throws the timings completely.
Thankfully though, now when I do know that happened, like when you're like, oh shit, Audacity like reverted to the old one, like Adobe Audition does have like a converter.
But
I don't know
how?
What it does.
Yeah, what does it do?
I don't know. But it has a tool that is like convert the sample rate, and I'm like, sick, I'm gonna do that.
Because if you're listening, I mean, think it you think, oh, what is 1 or 2 or 3, even 3 second difference? And it's huge. Oh,
it's huge.
Over an
it's
hour huge. And a half, it is huge. Like it is an absolute nightmare to try to fix as well. It's just, it's...
Yeah, because it creeps in. Like there's no specific point where it's become like an issue. It's like slowly becoming a problem.
But that said, even your cut audio, I don't know if it's a Discord video delay thing, because like I'm recording the video off Discord live, whatever. When I line up your audio over the hour and a half, it also very slowly goes out of sync, like very subtly. So I'll put like 3 or 4 trims in the episode, and then it pull your audio that it lines up perfectly. But it does happen. It's so strange.
I really don't get that, because it's like there's nothing we're doing in the recording that would do that. You know what I mean?
No. It just makes me think that so we've got our Audacity rates the same, right? Maybe Discord's is slightly different. I don't know what it is.
It could be.
But it's just strange because the concept of time, I'm like, we hit record on the audio and the video at the exact same time, and then we stop it at the exact same time and I cut it. But inevitably, when the episode starts, your audio sync's perfect. And then within 15 minutes, it's slightly off. So I have to literally like pull it back a bit. But I don't know why that happens.
It's probably the Discord thing. Like Discord is recording at a certain speed or a certain bitrate or sample rate. I mean, it's probably that. I have no idea what Discord does. Again, this is something that other podcasts that I listen to, they don't use Discord. Like they'll use Discord to facilitate the actual like the meeting between the people, like as they're talking. But the video they're recording is usually recorded through a different program called like VMix. I know we looked at that long ago. I actually spoke to Jan from Giant Bomb. At the time, he was like producing their podcast. He now hosts and live produces it at the same time, which is insane to me. But he told me about a program called VMix that they use. But they use it for all their live streams. It's not just the podcast. And I looked into it, and it is like, it's really cool because it's like a centralized point of recording video. So someone like hosts essentially a call, and then everyone gets a link and they join that call via that link. And then they're like streaming high quality video all to a centralized location. Like it's really cool. It's just obscenely expensive.
Yeah.
I think it was like over $1,000 per year. And I was like, no. Discord's more than fine. Discord and OBS.
Discord managers.
But VMix would basically replace OBS because it would be like your, So.
Okay, I'll happily spend the 2 minutes per episode just adjusting.
But it is funny because, you know, producers at big websites are running into the same problems that you have where like, say a third person was to join this call right now.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Chaos, yeah.
Exactly. So because now the orientation of the windows in Discord is different. So like your orientation in OBS would be different. And
I actually would have no idea how to host a third person. Like in all seriousness, because even this scene we have, sorry, this is terrible for audio listeners, but imagine we two webcams basically side by side. So we actually do have a checkpoint chat scene where there's a third block. It's spaced for a third person. But in terms of actually pulling that off, it's not a simple thing of, hey, we'll just dial you in. Like Alessandro's window is, again, we're pulling back the curtain. We're doing a deep dive. I pop out his window from Discord that it's its own thing I can drag about, but it's the main focus. If we had a third person on the call, I can't have two separate windows. Discord only is like, you can have, I suppose that would be the workaround.
You pop out that window.
I pop out the window and then I resize it to fit in the scene. Whereas I suppose I could do it where if there's a third person, it is literally like, okay, we just have the default Discord and I have to figure out how to, you know.
I thought you were just cutting out like the actual small window in the Discord client, not popping it out.
This is why your face sometimes freezes. It's if I put anything over your screen like fully. So I've I should send you a photo one day because the production's happening this side is I've got it down to a T now, but it's like I've got your imagine there's a blow up of your face. Okay. But I've got like a small,
I'm imagining that.
Audacity in the top left, stopwatch in the middle, OBS on the right, and then like the little news / notes taking window on the bottom left. I don't have anything maximized over your feed because then that's where your screen and OBS freezes. Whatever. So it happens now and then if I'm like moving things about, you go, oh no, what happened? I'm like, you saw nothing. Yeah. I'm busy. I'm just doing something.
You're like as quick as you can. You're just moving things.
Just adjusting here. Yeah, but it's funny how we figured it out because, I mean, we did in-person recordings for the longest time and then COVID happened.
Mm.
It was like, oh shit, we have to figure out.
Yeah, very quickly we had to figure out remote. But then I think you figured out to a degree where when COVID wasn't a thing anymore, it was like, no, this is actually like way easier to do than meeting. Because it was like you lived far. Like you were driving a long way for the recordings every Saturday. So,
But I mean, it kind of, I don't see what an in-person recording would do differently to what we do.
Exactly.
In fact, like,
so many podcasts have stayed remote. Like,
I think it would be more complicated now with video, to be honest. Like, in fact,
because you need multiple cameras, you need
multiple
all of
this, microphones, and then to not have. Yeah, this is so we've got technical.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a studio like the Kind of Funny Guys, and of course you're going to do it in person, but.
Yeah.
Anyway. You know what else you can only do in person?
Play games?
I mean, I guess you could do them remotely, but it's always good to play games in person.
Cloud gaming is a thing now. So
that's true, but you still have to be present in person in yourself. Exactly. This checkpoint chat to talk about video. I was going to say I don't even know what I was going to say. Never mind. Checkpoint chat to talk about video games. There's only one video game to talk about this week. Well, that's a lie. There's only one we are going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it's the only one we've like actually managed to get around to finishing. Well, Matthew's finished it. I'm like maybe like an hour or two away from finishing, so it's fine.
Yeah, very close to the end.
I didn't do my job, so we're just going along with it.
You're fired. I will preface this by saying we're talking about Spider-Man 2. I don't know if you've said that yet.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, so. I haven't. Yeah. The Spider-Man 2, we're going to be talking... I mean, we've been talking about this game for a while, so now that we both finished, and it's like borderline almost a month since it... Well, yeah, 20th of October, so...
It came out quite a while ago. A couple of weeks. So I will
We're going to be talking about spoilers.
Yeah, so if even the video footage I'm going to show is pretty far in the game, so if you want to go in clean, just close the video.
The podcast is timestamped, the video is timestamped. You can skip. I mean, this is going to be the bulk of like game talk this week.
Yeah.
We're not going to spoil the exact ending because I will actually assault Matthew through the internet if he does that.
Everyone dies. I know.
But like pretty much most of the story beats up until the very, very last one we'll be chatting about. So yeah, you have been warned.
You have been warned.
So you finished it. I want to know now that you finished it. Overall thoughts on
Mary Jane is OP. No, I'm kidding.
Mary Jane is John Wick.
Oh, she's actual John Wick. No, so I thoroughly enjoyed this game. I think that Insomniac took a lot of the criticism from the first two games and they addressed most of it. Like I will say, there's still a lot of side activities that feel like busy work. However, they did rein it in. Like, if you think of the original Spider-Man game, to platinum, that took, 50, 60 hours potentially.
Yeah, there was a lot of busy work you had to do at the end.
So much filler. Like, I mean, I've platinumed this now and it was 28 hours. And even that was, I spent some time in photo mode and I spent some time just swinging around. And I think in terms of pacing and bringing it, you know, reining it in, they've ticked that box. So good for them. I really enjoyed that. But I will say, I think my biggest criticism and I think the biggest concern you and I both had was Spider-Man 1's Act 3 felt like absurd. Like actually absurd in that everything that sits is trying to kill you and you can't go anywhere.
It's when a Sable comes in and takes over the city and you it's nonsense.
It's like way too aggressive. And this Act 3, I won't get into details, has like the exact same problem where
I wouldn't say to the same degree. Not to the same degree, but the same thing. Yeah.
It's this thing of like the city's like aggressively trying to kill you, like over the top. And I understand maybe there's a narrative thing in trying to one up what's happened before to, you know, up the stakes, but it just feels unnecessary. Like you don't need to do that to make the game feel like, ooh, you know, things are bad.
But it makes a bit less sense this time around, though, in terms of like how the city is functioning.
Yeah,
you know, while this is happening, because you hear like J.J. Jameson and is it Danica?
You
have the podcast, and they're talking about like what's happening. And you're like, if this was actually happening, there would be no one on the
streets.
People
would just evacuate.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a bit of a weird disconnect.
You
there.
Swing around, and then it's like people stuck in their car, and I'm like, no one would be driving around.
What's happening? People are just still walking around like casually, and I'm like
this would not happen.
I don't understand.
That's,
yeah,
that to me is just like my biggest criticism of. I know they're trying to one up what's happened before. You don't need to do that. Like. For narrative purposes, we understand what the stakes are. You can just tell the story, and I think that's enough. That said, I do think, I did thoroughly enjoy playing this game. I think the balance of Peter and Miles was very good. Like, I also had concerns of, not concerns really, but how do they balance it? You know, will I spend more time playing Miles? Will I spend more time playing Peter? And while I agree with you that Miles is probably the funner Spider-Man to play, I do think they gave Peter enough tools to keep him maybe not as interesting, but still very interesting to play as.
They definitely improve him from like if you go back and play Spider-Man Remastered now, which, you know, I did after playing Miles Morales, like when Remastered came out on PC, I wanted to try. Sorry, the video footage. Please watch this really bad Akira slide. It's terrible. Oh my goodness.
It's great.
It's terrible.
Love to see it.
I went back and played Spider-Man Remastered, and it was very evident that Miles was just a lot more fun to play. But I think now with Peter, they let him keep a lot of like endgame abilities from Remastered right at the beginning here. And then they like build on that. So like where Miles has this Venom and so Venom as in his electric powers, not symbiote.
Very
not
confusing.
Sure why they both named that.
Yeah.
And now he's got these blue electric powers. I'm not entirely sure what they're called. Anyway.
Don't know if they have a name.
So yeah, Venom blue powers Venom. And nondescript blue Venom powers. But Peter has like more tech to go along. So he's got those like little spider arms that come out of him. And those like replace the Venom powers, you know, I still think the Venom powers are a lot cooler.
Yeah.
But in actual practice, they both serve the same purpose. They both have like a launching attack or a crowd control attack or a single damage attack. So Peter's just as fun to play as Miles. I just think Miles is visually flashier, which is always fun.
But they definitely dialed up. Like, I think one of my favorite things from the Miles standalone game was you could immediately tell how they swung around like completely differently. Where Peter was not stiff, but Miles, you could see, was just more.
Miles is more like more, emotive.
Just more emotive, like, and more stylistic, I guess. But they've definitely done the same thing for Peter here, where he's also got now his own signature way of swinging around.
I mean, Peter can do tricks now as well. That was specifically a Miles thing. I particularly love the one trick of Peter's where if you diving from a high building, and I think you press like back and square, he just like turns around and starts solving a Rubik's Cube, which is the biggest flex I've ever seen in my life. Like,
I think
and
Miles,
if you fall long enough, he actually solves it, which is quite fun.
Surprise, there's no trophy for that.
There should be a trophy for that. Yeah. When it happened to me, I was waiting for something to pop because I thought that was quite
That's
a cool
amazing.
Thing. But you're right. They're having a lot more fun with both of them. And I think they learned a lot from like the playful nature of Miles. And I think it maybe ties into the story that Miles and Peter have been working together for some time now. So yeah. I think they're influencing each other. Like Miles is definitely learning from Peter, but Peter is understanding different things about like how to be Spider-Man from Miles. Yeah. And that's 100%. Actually quite a cool theme in this game is like Miles is so concerned about being a better Spider-Man. Like he's still carrying the weight of losing his father and kind of like reconciling the line between revenge and facing his trauma, which is, I think, conveyed really, really well throughout the game. And then like contrast that with a Spider-Man whose mentor kind of like loses his way and Miles trying to figure that out. I think those little story beats, like they conveyed really well and they're done extremely well. And I think Miles specifically shines in a lot of those moments.
Yeah. I think I like one of my favorite parts of all of these games has been the stories that they tell. Like, don't get me wrong, I love swinging around. I love, you know, the act of being Spider-Man, but the actual stories from the original to Miles' own, you know, smaller standalone tale to now this big forces combined thing. Like that I've always just enjoyed the things they tell. I mean, I think the first time we spoke about this game, when we first played it, I love that it touches the more human side of, you know, superheroes where I've said before, Iron Man's the billionaire, Thor's like an actual god. Like there's obviously depth to them, but it feels like they're just set up. They're just doing their thing, you know? Whereas these two are just normal people. Like Peter's trying
to
balance.
They are neighborhood superheroes. Yeah.
Peter's trying to.
They're more people.
Yeah. Peter's trying to manage, you know, paying bills and getting a job. Mm-hmm. Miles is like, oh God, I've got to write my letter to get into college, which is such an absurd thing. You think like, but you're Spider-Man. And they balance these two things very well. You know, like the story is one of the story's themes is about like balancing and like when to be Spider-Man and when to be Peter or Miles. And I think the payoffs on both fronts are very strong. Like there are a lot of very heartfelt moments in this game, which I didn't expect.
But it does that without being awkward because always found like, especially in the Spider-Man films, it was very like overall with like, oh God, this balance of being a superhero and a normal person. And it's always like, Peter's about to hand in something for a deadline and oh no, now he has to leave because someone... it's like not that like overtly, it's like very complex situations where they have to make difficult decisions about choosing the life that they're in. And it culminates in a really interesting fight that I wasn't expecting. Okay, this is like proper spoilers now. if you were still like concerned about that. The mission I played last night, which is you say quite close to the end now, Venom basically infects Mary Jane with the symbiote and she turns into Scream, which was super cool. And then there's this very extended fight between her and Peter where the symbiote brings out her frustrations about living with Peter and having to deal with his superhero life. Like the number of times Mary Jane had to compromise on her future and her wants and her dreams because it had bills to pay, which Peter couldn't, you know, do because like he couldn't hold a job because he's busy running around as this costumed superhero. So she, you know, throughout this game has to work for J. Jonah Jameson and write bullshit like news stories and stuff like that. And all of that comes to a head in this fight where she's like, actually, this is unfair. I'm being treated incredibly poorly and like I'm sick and tired of having to live this life, you know. And it's something I've never seen like explored, maybe in the comics they do, but you know, Mary Jane taking that stance, you know, and Peter kind of like coming to this realization that, you know, his life choices aren't just about like his compromises. It's about the people around him as well. It was really cool. I just thought it was a very, very cool story moment that came out of nowhere.
I think it's interesting because I also wonder now, like I finish a game, no spoilers, but like what's next? I know who, you know, I have an idea of, you know, who the next big bad person is going to be. And there are some little seeds planted that you can kind of figure what they're going to do. But in terms of actual expanding the gameplay, I don't know how.
Yeah, that's a good question. This. Yeah,
I mean, we've seen, again, no spoilers, but I think the director, whose name I cannot remember, said
Brian Inther.
Like the third game would be the Avengers Endgame moments for this franchise. Like it's that big of a scale. I think, like, correct me if I'm wrong, that is more or less what he said.
Bodega Cat costume just fucking kills me. It's so inappropriate for these series.
It ruins everything, but in the best.
Miles is busy chilling and Craven's looking at him and this cat's like fucking booping your head. Like, come on. Sorry, continue. Every time I see it, it's just so funny.
I shared a tweet of, I think it was like the moment in the river where you're being chased by a lizard and I had the bodega cat and you're under the water and the costume just still has the bodega cat like out there playing, but there's one moment where the camera pans and the bodega cat comes out, it's like covering half the screen. Since then I was like, I cannot unequip this costume. And
he's like swiping at the little robot bird in the air, which is so funny.
It's too good.
Talking about,
I was saying, I don't know, like I think this is the thing I always take my hat off to devs, like if they pull it off. So like a good example is we had Star Wars Jedi earlier this year, where it started with Fallen Order and then we had Survivor. Yeah. And one of my biggest concerns with a sequel game is often, we're going to have that trope of, oh no, you've lost your abilities. And if you don't do that, you go, well, okay, you have to let players keep their abilities, but somehow expand them. And Jedi Survivor does exactly that. You have basically all your abilities and they expand them in very interesting and cool ways. Yeah. I have sort of that concern, yeah, where I think they could balance it out where you're two different spider people. You know, Miles gets new abilities. Peter has his fancy new arm tech. For a third game, I'm like, where do you go? What do you do? I'd like, again, in this sequel, they made the playground bigger and not aggressively so. There's like an adjacent neighborhood you can explore, but then for the third game, do they just go even bigger? I just don't know. I almost feel that we'll have the same concerns we had going into the sequel, where we were worried it'd be more samey. And
yeah,
I think on that, like, it kind of is more samey, but there's enough that makes it different. At no point did I go like, oh, I'm playing Spider-Man 1 here. I felt like while there are similar beats and mechanics, it still felt fresh and fun to play. I just don't know where they go from here.
I agree with you, but I do think like I share that concern because I felt even this one was like I know you said it had a lot new and it does, like the new areas, the new way to traverse, like the web wings are just, I go back and play Miles Morales or Spider-Man Remastered without that, like it feels wrong now to not have that ability. But you know, the open world, the way you get around it, the structure of the game is very similar. And that's not particularly a negative to me, but I think if it's done a third time, that is where, like, you can excuse it a second time because there's enough new stuff on the periphery that makes up for it. But I don't know how they build upon this. And I think these are the questions they're asking themselves. Like, this is a very difficult problem to solve, and you know that's why sequels are challenging. So I think they started off with an incredibly strong base, which isn't usually the case. You know, a lot of the times the first game in the series is quite often the weakest, and it's the second one which really finds like its footing. And then the third one just has to iterate slightly on that second one. This one they nailed it from the get-go. Yeah. So to get to the third one and for it to still feel as novel will be challenging. But yeah, I don't know. From a gameplay perspective, I think I really don't know what they can do because I think they pushed everything they could here. Like the abilities are really cool. The new stuff is really cool. The moveset you have by the end is extremely expansive. So like to start you off at that and then build upon that again just seems like too much. But yeah, I don't know. I have issues with this game. Like, I don't think it's perfect. No. I think just like the first one, I really, really enjoyed, but I think there's ways that can improve. I think the open world, again, a lot of the side activities feel very open world and boring and cookie cutter stuff. Like, I think we spoke last week about the Mysterio little side quests. I really didn't like those. I didn't like the ones where you're chasing the robot bird. I didn't like the ones where you're doing the small experiments for like Harry and Peter's company. Like those ones where you're controlling a drone bee and shooting stuff. What is this? Like, come on.
I love how overacted it is. Like, no one says those things when they're playing a game. Like,
An AR game where we're shooting bees. Yeah, Peter's like really into this thing. Like, he's never played a video game in his fucking life. Like stuff like that. Like, that was stuff on the first game that I thought was kind of poor, and stuff that I think Miles Morales like fixed because it didn't have as much of it. But at the same time, it wasn't like overly offensive. I've not fast traveled once in this game across 20 hours because I think getting around the world is still one of the best feeling mechanics in video games, like, period. It feels so good.
It's so quick as well. It's like,
especially with these little like wind currents for your web wings, you can blaze from one end to the other on the map.
Any other open world game, you best believe if I can fast travel there, I'm fast traveling there. Whereas this is a matter of, it's the other side of the map, but I can swing there in a minute.
Exactly. When that icon comes up and it's like 3,000 meters, I'm like, sick. I'll get to do like little side missions on the way. I remember even in the first Spider-Man, the only time I started fast traveling was at the end when I was chasing the platinum. And I was like, okay, I just want to like pop these things off. But like now you swing around and the stuff that does work in the open world really shines. Like the little collectible robot spiders, which don't appear on your map. You have to see them by traveling around. Like, those are cool because you literally swing by them, press triangle, grab it, you've got a collectible. You can like continue your momentum. I also think the dynamic crimes are a lot shorter in nature, which makes it feel way better. Which is cool. It's like you drop in, you beat up five guys, crime solved, carry on. It's not like a 5-minute detour that you have to now like think about, you know. So I think they improved on that element a lot. So there's changes they've made. I just think like it's the side missions that really bug me. The story side missions are very good. I think those are really fun and there's some cool character moments. I mean, there's definitely setup for potentially DLC in one of them.
Oh, plenty. So much.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was going to be resolved in this game, and you told me that it's like, nope, they just kind of leave it there. So that's screaming DLC to me. But yeah, I don't know where they go from here. Do you think we get another Spider-Man on the PS5?
As in
like a sequel?
Actually, maybe not, because now they're going to work on Wolverine, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly why I don't think
I have
get
to
one.
Believe that there will be a Ratchet and Clank as well. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's the same team necessarily, but I do think it's Insomniac. They're juggling a few projects at a time.
Sure. That would mean like, so their first game on PS5 was Miles Morales. Then it was Ratchet and Clank. Then Spider-Man 2. Then Wolverine. That's four games on one console whose lifespan is maybe going to be 7 or 8 years. That's already more than most devs.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
Plug in a fifth.
Look, it's one of those things of like, I don't know how Insomniac works. I don't know. I don't think they have.
It's also true. Yeah.
I don't think they have.
I don't think it's just one team.
No.
Yeah.
I don't envision they've got like, oh, you know, we've done this game, time to make the second Ratchet and Clank. I think it is. No, this is a Spider-Man team. And they obviously pool resources on and off as needed. But I mean, the fact that they are putting out games at such a cadence tells me that
they're, it's nuts. Yeah.
Like, the fact that there was just a casual Ratchet and Clank, which is not even remotely similar to Spider-Man in any way.
Still one of the best PS5 games.
One of the
out
best
there,
PS5 like... games. I honestly think that they must be working on a sequel somewhere. And yeah. We know they're working Wolverine. So you're maybe right. Spider-Man 3 comes out on the PS6.
Or it's a cross-gen thing.
What they did with Miles Morales, and there's a standalone something.
I think that's more likely, like a what's the term I hear people using? Expandalone. So it's like an expansion that's standalone or whatever.
Amazing.
And I think we had news a few weeks ago. I can't recall which studio, which developer. It might have actually been Insomniac being like, yeah, this is going to become more common. Because it's just easier to make these smaller games in between bigger sequels as opposed to like jumping straight into a sequel. And you saw that with Naughty Dog. They did The Lost Legacy. We got Miles Morales. So like I for sure see, like, if that's the route they want to go, they use like an expand alone to kind of set the stage further for a Spider-Man 3, which is maybe then on, you know, a new console, maybe 1 or 2 years into the PS6 cycle. I mean, think about it. Spider-Man 1 came out 2017. So that was 6 years ago. It's a long time. I think in 6 years from now, we are, knocking on the door of 2030. Like, that's new console territory. Aged. There's no way we on PS5 by then.
That's it. The fact that Spider-Man 1 came out only 6 years ago, it's wild. But it is a PS4 game, which blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. PS4 only game at the time, it's crazy.
Spider-Man 2, good time. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
That's very good. It's very good.
I think, like, frustrations aside, it's still a AAA first party Sony title, which we know for the most part is like, you're going to have a good time. The bar's very high, and I feel that they've reached that bar.
And I feel grateful that we're in an era of a Spider-Man game that is this good after decades of absolute shit.
I can tell you, me would be thrilled knowing that one day there would be really good open world Spider-Man games to play.
It's still top tier.
Yeah, really, really good.
What are your three best suits?
The bodega suit has to be.
Oh, of course. I mean, I could have guessed that one.
I don't know. There's the one that they both have a version of suit where they have a cape. I don't know what it's referencing or if it's just a standalone.
It's like the Arachnite and I don't know what Miles's one is called. But yeah, I know exactly
Spider-Man
what you're talking about.
The cape just looks really cool. I don't know why it's never been done. Maybe it has been done before and I just haven't seen it, but it's never been seen to me.
Yo, when you pair them both with the capes and you see them
standing like back to back.
Running
like,
around. Oof, damn. Powerful.
Real good.
Absolutely powerful.
And I think, I don't know where, but I just love the nods to the OG Spider-Man movies, like the old Tobey movies. You got
Very webbed suits.
Yeah, and you've got the actual Venom suit from Spider-Man 3.
I enjoyed that one.
That's great. A lot of nods.
These games really show off how bad the Spider-Man suits were in the Andrew Garfield era. They look terrible. Just terrible.
Yeah, but these designers had a lot of fun with all these suit variations. Yeah. Good God.
What are your favorite suits? I do agree with you. I wish there was a bit more lore background on each of the suits just to like give
they don't tell
like
you.
Reference to they, this suit comes from this they, or that.
Even then, it'll just be like a playful, like it'll be named something. And I just look at it and say, well, it's reference. I know it's linking to this franchise, but I don't know what specifically in that franchise because it's got like some other name.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Cool.
I haven't unlocked all of them yet. But I'm hoping that there is a armored spider suit, like the OG classic one, which is the silver like plates and black spandex. I fucking love that suit for no reason. I just think it's sick. But of the ones that I do have, I really like the story Venom suit suit because of how it changes over time, like so subtly. Firstly, it looks like it's living. It looks like an alien. So it's constantly like coursing and moving. But then as Peter starts getting more and more attached to this thing, you can see it like it's changing. Like he becomes more like I don't know, there's like almost like symbiote veins on the back of his head that become more pronounced, yeah. And the spider on his chest becomes more stretched, and it's very cool. I think it's awesome. Very sad that I cannot wear it during the story currently. So, on Miles' side, I really like the what's it called now? Oh, the Across the Spider-Verse one.
I love those suits.
So you get the Into the Spider-Verse, and I like the one in Across the Spider-Verse a lot better. I do turn off the low frame rate stuff because it makes me ill. Like it actually makes me feel sick.
I left it on and I got used to it. I played for a good chunk.
No, I can't. I really can't. In the first game, I did get used to it. I was like, oh, this is pretty novel. But now, I don't know if it's the speed of the swinging is faster. But boy, that like weird choppy frame rate on them. I think it's a cool idea. I get sick.
Well, at least they give you the option to put it off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm very happy about that. So it looks very out of place in the story missions, but I don't give a shit. And then the last one. Yeah, I actually don't know. There's so many good ones for Peter as well.
I think this game, an aggressive number of suits. You're unlocking them every 3 minutes.
The Superior Spider-Man suit is very good from the comics. Like, it just looks very, very nice. And it's cool that it's got the little thing on your back where the little metal arms now actually protrude from, which is neat. So, yeah, quite enjoy that one.
It's a good game. Old Spider-Man 2. If you've got a PlayStation 5, you should probably play this
grab
game.
Grab it. Mm. Absolutely grab it, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Shall we get
now
to...
Now we can move on to Alan Wake. Jesus.
Oh, my God. I'm very excited to play Alan Wake.
Or after finish Mario Wonder or finish Zelda or just never finish games
I'm
ever.
I'm chipping away at those Switch games. Don't you worry.
Fuck. I don't have time. I need to finish. I know we're going to do Game of the Year soon. I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do.
A Game of the Year is Forspoken. We've spoken about this.
Then I've got a guide work who's like, you need to play Baldur's Gate.
Oh my God. You got Miklas and Jeff and everyone going, yes, Baldur's Gate. You're like, okay. Come now.
Yeah, I just need time. Oh, I need time. Speaking of time, here's how much time you're going to lose this week to new games. Looking at games
to the end of the year.
From today, 11th of November up until the 17th of November. Lord help us.
That's actually a lot of games. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, what the fuck? It's not stopping. It's just never ending. And every week I go, oh yeah, we've passed like the big games, and then I come to this point in the week and there's still like two or three like biggish ones coming. So anyway, let's fly through these fucking 30 games coming out. My God.
Sure.
Zero Losses, PC, November 11th. Tea of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Switch, PC, November 13th. Astral Ascent, PlayStation, Switch, PC, November 14th. Broken Roads, Xbox One, and PC, November 14th. Coral Island, coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, November 14th. Hogwarts Legacy is finally releasing on the Switch. Very curious to see how that runs.
Have you watched the trailer for it on Switch? Man,
does it look bad?
They've pulled back a lot of those facial
I mean... The game looked good on consoles, but it already ran poorly on older consoles. So
yeah, good luck.
Karmazu coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, PC, November 14th. American Arcadia coming to PC, November 15th. Ascent of Ashes, PC, November 15th. Checkmate Showdown, is that a chess game? Coming to PC, November 15th. Lake, Season's Greetings, I assume that's DLC for Lake. PlayStation, Xbox, PC, November 15th. Ooh, Teardown is coming to consoles. PS5 and Xbox Series X and X, November 15th.
What is Teardown again? You played that.
Yeah. It's like voxely game where you can, it's like a heist simulator.
Yeah,
you can
said
like
it would,
blow up stuff.
It would destroy CPUs. How's this running on?
Yeah, good luck. I'm very curious to see how this runs on a console because, boy, that thing brought my PC to its knees. That is a really fun game that I highly implore people to try out. It's super cool. The Last Faith coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC, November 15th. Universe for sale, PC, November 16th. Oh my God.
I love this name.
Naruto X Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections. Why? Why are they like this?
Wow. I don't know.
Geez, every console under the sun, Switch and PC.
Yeah.
Persona 5 Tactica. This is the XCOM like for Persona 5 because they cannot stop making Persona 5 games.
I'm so lost because I saw this and even right now, go back 10 seconds, watch my face. Is there another Persona 5 game?
That game sold so obscenely well that Atlus is just like, we need to make everything Persona 5.
I mean, they're not wrong. Yeah. Where's Persona 6 though?
It's the question many people have been asking. PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. November 17th. And then the last one for the week, Super Mario RPG.
Mm-hmm.
Remake, remaster. Comes Switch, November 17th.
I have not played an RPG Mario.
I've never played Super Mario RPG, so I'm quite curious.
Yeah, seem to love Super Mario RPG, so that's coming out soon. Yeah, that's game releases for this week, though. Which means we can get on to gaming news. Now, the big question is, I mean, I'm asking, but what is the big news this week? I suppose it's I know where I'm leaning. I don't know where you're leaning towards.
I mean, it has to be GTA, no?
Grand Theft Auto 6 announcement is reportedly happening soon with a trailer release following. So, this announcement did happen. I think, updates. Rockstar has now confirmed that GTA 6 trailer will debut in December. And they did it in I didn't realize there was a whole separate. Oh my God, written by Darren. Look at that, hey. This is hilarious. They confirmed this in a tweet.
Yeah, not even a
primary tweet. It is like the third or fourth tweet in a thread of tweets going like, oh, hey, Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer is coming soon.
They're like, oh, Grand Theft Auto is celebrating 25 years and this couldn't be done without you. Also, there's a trailer for GTA 6 coming out next month. Goodbye.
Which is
such
just,
a weird. But again, grand. Like Take-Two knows and Rockstar knows, like they don't need to do anything else. Like everyone is hanging on a dime for like new GTA 6 news. I mean, there were those like people that were like convinced that Rockstar was trolling them with the phase of the moon and this and like people have gone on batshit crazy. Like anyway, GTA 6 is getting its first trailer in December. The Game Awards are also in December, but I don't know if it will be at there because, again, Rockstar doesn't need the Game Awards. Like, the Game Awards would love to have this trailer.
Jeff Keighley at Rockstar is all like, please, let me have this.
I want to be popular, please. I mean, the last time that they released a trailer, it was for Red Dead Redemption 2, and they kind of just said, hey, it's going to release on this day at this time, and that was that.
Yeah.
You know, so I just love that we're at the point of pre-announcements to announcements to trailers.
It's the best time to be alive.
Yeah. I have no idea what a GTA 6 looks like in the modern context.
It's kind of wild to think that GTA 5 came out on a PS3.
Yeah, 2013. Insane.
It's crazy. That blows my mind. And of course, GTA 5 has since been ported to every current PS4, PS5, and obviously there's a PC version. I wonder what a modern GTA looks like. I mean, like, we've got Red Dead Redemption 2, right? Which is a good indication of, holy shit, Rockstar will go into any kind of detail, from horse testicles to everything else in this Wild West simulator. What do they do now with a modern open world playground? I mean,
yeah,
GTA Online is its own beast, which pulls in so much money. They must be thinking, yes, how do we monetize? I mean, even that, I don't know if a GTA 6 online will launch with the game because it only came.
It has to.
But GTA 5 online only came years after
Yeah, it was like a year or two after, I remember, because they like delayed it quite hectically. And but to me, GTA Online is what GTA is now. Mm. Like, it has to launch with it. There's no, it would be so weird if it didn't, to me. But yeah, even then, how do they transition all these millions of people from GTA Online to GTA 6? You know, do they just consolidate the two where they're like, cool, GTA 6 is out, GTA Online is kind of just moving over to this thing. But then again, like, they'll have a different city, they'll have a different setting. Like, I think that's a very big problem for Rockstar to solve, and could potentially be why this has taken so long. Like, they can't gut, you know, the tons of money they're making from GTA Online now by just rebooting it. So maybe they do. Maybe they're like, people will come. Like, they don't give a shit, you know.
So educate me. GTA 5 Online, is that a separate purchase to GTA 5 or is it free to play?
No, it's part of GTA 5.
It's a part of GTA 5. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say then maybe it is a simple thing of if you've got GTA 5 Online, don't worry. Like, we're going to bring over GTA 6 content to you. Because if it's two separate things, that would make sense, right? You just kind of launch GTA 6 and you just keep evolving the other one. But if it is tied to the purchase of GTA 6, then I don't know. I don't know what they do. Because if you don't know, maybe you don't know that GTA 5 Online pulls in huge amounts of money, but you can't just say goodbye to that business. It brings in way too much money for Rockstar, and they kind of do need to problem solve that.
So, and I think also like you can't just reboot if you're going to do, okay, now GTA Online is new in GTA 6, but it doesn't have all of the features that the previous one had or support for the things that the previous one did, like role playing and stuff like that. You know, these are problems that they have to solve. And you know, this is 100% the biggest moneymaker that Take-Two has, so they're not, you know, treading lightly. They're not making decisions, I think, very quickly on this. So yeah, apparently according to Take-Two's CEO Strauss Zelnick, the game could be out late 2024, early 2025, because their earnings projections for that fiscal year are like through the fucking roof. And that fiscal year ends on March 2025. So yeah,
it's going to be huge. I'm also...
No, it's going to be huge either way. Either way, it's going to be huge, yeah.
I'm also interested to see visually what it looks like, because...
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be... I mean, Red Dead Redemption 2 is still one of the best-looking games out there, so I definitely think... I do hope that they can figure out HDR, because HDR on Red Dead Redemption 2 was ass, so...
We're not just talking about a donkey in the game, though.
No. Not...
Well, as you touched on earlier, so Rockstar said, hey, next month we're going to show something. I think you said, well, not you specifically, but the general thought is maybe it's at the Game Awards, unlikely, but that's it. The game, why is this not loading? The Game Awards are happening next month. Yeah. Why is the site so zoomed in? I think the day, December 7th. And outside of it being an opportunity for Jeff Keighley to, you know, bestow awards upon really good games, it is also an opportunity to show off new stuff. The Game Awards has become a end of year calendar beat where things are shown for the following year, not necessarily for the following year, but things are revealed. So are we seeing Elden Ring DLC at the show?
I think this is where we're going to see.
Are we seeing Death Stranding 2 at the show?
Yes. Death Stranding 2 has been announced. So
no, but I mean, are we actually seeing
more?
It now?
Yeah, for sure.
Are we seeing Half-Life 3?
I think Elden Ring definitely not. No. But what I can tell you what we won't be seeing is a trailer for the new Nintendo Switch. Oh, well, that too. Jesus Christ. everyone's like, oh, they're going to announce the new Nintendo Switch here. But I think Nintendo just goes according to their own beat currently. So there's no reason for them to do that.
I was going to say it's too early, but I guess it's not true because the Switch did launch March when it launched in 2017. I don't know.
Think there's going to be a longer marketing campaign for the Switch successor than the actual Switch. But I don't think it'll be this show. It could still be before the end of the year, but I don't think it'll be here. The nominees are being announced on November 13th. So potentially by the time you're listening to this, the nominees might be out.
Oh boy.
Curious to see there's arguments over who should and shouldn't be nominated and who will and who won't win. I know we've had spirited debates on whether Baldur's Gate 3 is going to win Game of the Year. I personally think it's definitely going to be nominated. I don't think it's going to win.
So,
not because it doesn't deserve it, but purely because like of the game it is. You know what I mean?
Your Game of the Year nominee predictions go 6 games.
Predictions? Yeah, like what we nominated?
Who's going to actually
Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. Baldur's Gate 3. Mm-hmm. Super Mario Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man 2.
Do you think Spider-Man 2 will be there? Cool.
Yeah, Spider-Man 2 will be there. Do you think Alan Wake 2?
Alan Wake 2 will be there. Mm-hmm. And what is the sixth?
What's the sixth?
What is the sixth wild card? I'm also trying to think, like, what is something else good that came out this year? Is it something indie? I mean, Baldur's Gate is not indie, but it's definitely the least AAA out of all of those nominees. Sixth one is difficult.
Yeah, what takes the sixth slot? Like, there's been so many good games this year, but what stands out as something that grabbed the zeitgeist? Like,
is it... What are you going to say?
I didn't have a suggestion.
Is it going to be like a Resident Evil 4 remake? Because that...
Oh, yeah. That's not a bad shout.
A thing. Would it be a Starfield? Unlikely.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, I don't think it'll be a Starfield. Like... Mm. Yeah, no, I don't think it'll be a Starfield. Like, because the nominees are determined by the number of votes garnered for Game of the Year, so they take the sixth highest number. I don't think, in terms of critics, Starfield is going to rank there.
Yeah, so the sixth
Resident Evil 4 is probably a good shot. Yeah, that's probably where I'd lean. It's weird, though. We've spoken about how good of a year this has been for games, and I thoroughly agree with that. But when I think of... When I'm trying to imagine the six that'll be for Game of the Year, it seems like very sparse. You know what I mean?
I mean, those five we have already are very good. It's just,
you know, it should be there. It's Cocoon. Cocoon should be there. It's not going to be there, but it should be there.
But what interests me is that sixth spot. It's a wild card because those first five seem obvious.
Half-Hour Rush should be there.
Half-Hour Rush should
be there. It's not going to be there.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 16 could make an appearance.
Oh, yeah. That's another one that could be there. Although...
Don't know.
I feel like there is a very vocal portion of the internet that really loved that game, but then like the general consensus was that it wasn't that as good as we maybe liked it. Like I love that game.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
Best indie game is gonna be interesting because there's been bangers like people love Dave the Diver, people, you know, Cocoon is up there for me, but I don't know how many people actually played that. Cocoon, Dredge people love. So, yeah, interesting.
Interesting. Just remember that Star Wars Jedi Survivor came out this year.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that. That's probably why I don't think
it's a really
rank.
Good game, but it's just weird how it's just not in the zeitgeist at all.
You know what else came out this year? Some Horizon... Forbidden West DLC.
The DLC. I mean, but it's a DLC. So I don't know, where does that get recognized? It's a good DLC. I enjoyed it. Next piece of news. I suppose let's just touch on Nintendo because we did touch on them briefly now. The Switch has passed 132 million sales.
Jesus.
Which is just absolute madness.
That is a ridiculous amount. Just crazy.
I think let's just dial back. So we touched on the Switch coming out. Remember it was announced this is Wii U era, people going, what are Nintendo doing? What are they going to do next? And then that Switch trailer dropped and everyone went, that's really cool. A handheld, that's actually a console. And fast forward to today and look at what impact the Switch has. The Switch has had such an impact that we've got the Steam Deck, we've got the ROG Ally, we've got all these handheld things coming out. We've got PlayStation's weird cloud machine. It's still a handheld technically. And now Nintendo have sold 132 million of the damn things. And they've definitely set a trend of people have a hunger for this portable gaming, you know, but not Game Boy portable gaming or DS, like actual powerful enough to play good looking and, you know, expansive games thing. So it's just interesting that Nintendo have had such a rebound. And I'd love to see what the Switch 2 looks like. But I think what else came out of this, there was a lot of big numbers coming out of this report.
Yeah, I mean, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdoms now sold 19.5 million copies, which is kind of insane. It's like in 5-6 months.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild still 31 million, but I suspect Tears of the Kingdoms just going to blaze.
It'll slow, it'll be a low part. I mean, Breath of the Wild came out 6 years ago.
Yeah. I think Mario Wonder sold like 3 or 4 million in 10 days or something like that.
The best selling Mario game of all time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, fastest, yeah.
Fastest, sorry.
Yeah, definitely. Mario Kart keeps trucking along. It's 57 million units sold, which is...
That is just...
So it means 43% of Switch owners have Mario Kart, which is the most incredible attach rate I've ever heard. Like, to have almost one in two people own your game on a platform is just obscene. I mean, the Switch just continues being the Switch, and it feels almost boring to report on now, but it is just quite incredible what a turnaround Nintendo had on one console. You know, a time where people were like, will Nintendo just sell to Microsoft or Sony, or should Nintendo go third party? You know, that was the stuff that was going around before the Switch.
We lived through that. The Nintendo were in a very bad place. Terrible.
People talk about Nintendo now, like they can do no wrong, but like six years ago, that was super not the case.
Don't hold your breath. The Switch 2 could be awful. Okay, we've seen it.
Yeah, it could be.
The Wii, I mean, absolute success.
The Wii U came after one of their most successful consoles.
Yeah, so don't hold your breath. Until we've seen the Switch 2 and we've actually held it and played it, you don't know what Nintendo are going to do, because love them to, but sometimes they do the most absurd things. We'll see. Speaking of big numbers and records, Fortnite, this is wild. Fortnite smashes player records as it returns to the original map. This article is maybe a bit old, but the update is that 44 million players joined for the game's biggest day ever.
That's wild.
That is just insanity. And I can confirm that I know many people who have come to who've returned to Fortnite just to see what the original map looked like, myself and Lenska included. We haven't played Fortnite for months. Like, since before we moved, we played this week because we were like, it's Fortnite, let's jump in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know people who have never played Fortnite downloading and playing the game just because of the zeitgeist around it. So it's crazy. Just keep in mind, Epic laid off people not so long ago. What are they doing over there?
It is interesting here. Eurogamer notes that in the UK, internet provider Virgin Media O2 said that the return of Fortnite's original map had sparked its busiest day on its broadband network. Getting spikes
hilarious
around previous game launches. That's,
you know,
crazy.
Who my service provider is?
Oh?
It's Virgin and O2. I'm one of the numbers.
You contributed to that figure.
Who knew?
No, that's crazy. But it shows you again, like, the power of nostalgia as well. You know,
it really is. It's just nostalgia.
Sure.
In like the theme of this episode is pulling back the curtain. Let me tell you, in marketing, your biggest win is always nostalgia, because it's just associated with feel good and good vibes. Mm. And I mean,
it's memories of good times.
Yeah. Even if those memories happen during shit times, you'll look back on something fun. You'll be like, oh yes, Fortnite. Mm-hmm. The time I lost my house, I was busy playing the OG Fortnite. What a time. In other news this week, Sony confirms, or speaking of live service, Sony has confirmed that Sony confirms it's delayed half of its 12 planned live service games, which I applaud. Good on you, Sony. Six is still too many. Don't get me wrong.
But I saw a lot of people confusing this with it, like games being cancelled. That's not at all what happened.
Yeah.
They are delayed, and I mean, if you read what the original plan was, it kind of makes sense. They were trying to launch 12 live service games by March 2026, which is less than 3 years away. That's just an obscene cadence for like 12 different live service games. So yeah, it's now only six, which still seems like a lot.
It's still a lot.
It's like two big first party live service games a year. But you know, of those 12 titles, which were the ones that were delayed, and which of those will, I think, potentially be cancelled?
Like, I think they'll be cancelled.
The Last of Us online game, the Factions online game, which has been reportedly put on ice, 100% could be one of those. Horizon is making a multiplayer game.
Excuse me.
So yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, again, none of this stuff happens within a vacuum. So you've got like Jim Ryan leaving, you've got layoffs at Bungie, and a lot of the reports on the troubles they're having with like keeping continued engagement with Destiny, and then the knock-on effect that is having with Marathon, their next live service game, which apparently is like not going through the best sort of development. And then now you've got these delays, and it just seems like Sony is having a bit of a moment where they're like, is this really the route we're going to go down for the next like 5 to 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, now I completely, not agreeing with you. It is fact that they haven't canceled the six games. They've just delayed them. But I do think that in delaying them, they will inevitably be canceled. Like, for better or worse, but I do think 12 is like an aggressive number of live service games. Yeah. That's crazy. Because it'll lead to devs crunching. Speaking of crunch, man, it's the segues today.
Sure,
it's so good.
Segues on point here.
Report, devs worked nights and weekends to rush Modern Warfare 3 out. But Activision maintains a Call of Duty sequel is never meant to just be an expansion. I don't know. This is a weird story. So I read through this last night where, who's the head here? I can't think of the name. The head of the studio. It's basically the head saying this game was not rushed. It's exactly as it was intended. And then employees coming out being like, no. It was absolutely not. But then the last update in this article, it's I don't know how to pronounce this, Halon. Tweeted a much longer message about Modern Warfare 3's development via the Sledgehammer Games account. Quote, "We have worked hard to deliver on this vision, which has been years in the making," he wrote. "Anything said to the contrary is simply not true. This is our game and we cannot wait to play it online with all of you." Which is interesting because everything seems to point to this being a rushed cash grab. Very sorry to say.
I mean, there was tons of reporting that it was like an expansion and... you know, and that it eventually evolved into this thing that suddenly got a campaign out of nowhere. So it's like, it's very difficult to look at that and be like, no, they're telling the truth. Like a game that's made in half the time, there's no way. And it explains a lot about like the length of the campaign, the quality of the campaign, that the reviews are very plainly pointed out. So...
but also,
I mean, I haven't played it yet.
But there's also this thing of there have been weird bugs or things happening where it's like you cannot launch the game, for example, unless you have Modern Warfare 2 downloaded, which seems very strange. The trophy list was listed as like an expansion, which is very strange.
100%.
How does that accidentally happen? Tell me that. I don't know.
It doesn't. It definitely doesn't. And I don't know. I really don't understand what Activision was thinking. Well, I actually do. They wanted to make money.
Monet.
Like, plain and simple. They just wanted to make tons of money, and they're like, we can get away with this. Like, we can actually pull this off. That's what's happened. And I think, you know, there's been some positive buzz about the multiplayer, and that's cool. Mm. But at the same time, they've also pulled like a bunch of maps immediately on launch day. Because they were just like broken, which just shows like a sense of rushness, like oversight in that regard as well. So yeah, it's a bummer all around, I think. Not a good look.
Reality is that it'll still probably sell millions because it's Call of Duty.
Oh, probably, yeah. Almost definitely, yeah.
Yeah. But on that somber note.
That's something that.
That's news for this week.
Hooray.
Which means we can now get to questions.
Ooh, if you want to send us a question, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on social media at Checkpoint Chat. What's on the list for today?
We have some questions over on Twitter. So both from Mix. So first question from Mix to me. Matthew, are the Christmas decorations up and flashing in the shops yet? They are. Let me tell you. maybe not decorations per se, although decorations are going up, like I have seen. A lot of the streets are also now slowly being lit with Christmas lights, whatever. But as soon as the first week of October, I walked into a Marks and Spencer's, M&S, and the first board that greeted me was a sign saying, like, don't delay, avoid disappointments, order your Christmas dinner today. And I was like,
do not delay, avoid disappointments.
Who the hell is ordering their Christmas dinner in October? This is just... This is, for context, this was before Halloween. You'd walk in.
Before Halloween,
you'd walk in, see a Christmas sign, walk in, see Halloween stuff. I was like, what is going on here? This is so weird.
No, man. Before Halloween.
Yeah,
that's just not on. That's all I'm going to say. It's just not on.
I will say that Christmas is a big affair here from what I've seen and what I've been told. And we have walked down some high streets already and seen Christmas lights. So... yeah, not all of them are up. I think as the week's gone, it's just going to get more festive, which is cool. But there's definitely stuff up. And then I suppose this next question leads to that. Will Matthew and co. indulge in the traditional foods and drinks of British Christmas, like eggnog? I mean, I won't say no, but there's also a thing we've started seeing called, what's it called? Is it... it's mulled wine.
Mulled wine.
Yeah,
is that mulled wine? Isn't that like when it's warm?
It's warm. Yeah, like we've seen a few places already started selling that. So
mulled wine. I mean, you can drink that all year. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life.
I mean, we can, but they only started selling it now. So I will.
What, like in cartons?
No, no. So there's been a few coffee shops, not coffee shops necessarily, but you'll sort of walk past a bakery or a deli or whatever shop sells food, and they'll have like a, not a cauldron necessarily, but like a pot, a container with, cups and wine. So there you go. Seen that a few places already doing that. So, yeah.
Interesting.
The spoiler is that...
Do you like eggnog?
I don't know if I've ever tried eggnog, to be honest with you.
I tried it, I think, for the first time last year. My sister made it, like homemade eggnog. It's very good.
Is it? Well,
pretty,
there you go.
Pretty good, yeah.
So here's a spoiler. We're going to be in South Africa. for a few weeks in December, but we will be back.
You're running away from the white Christmas.
Oh, it's hilarious because then Lenska and I have this conversation of, well, do we even bother putting anything up?
Oh, you absolutely do. How dare you?
Oh, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I'm just going to leave
if
it at
the
that.
Next podcast, there isn't a fucking sparkling Christmas tree behind you.
Oh, wow.
There'll be words.
There'll be words.
See hands.
I'll see hands. Just like
actually,
this.
You will see hands. I will be in the UK. You'll see my hands.
Which is... shit. This isn't just an empty threat. I will actually see hands flying.
You will actually see hands right in front of you. And those hands will then put up a Christmas tree.
Well, I suppose this ties to, that's questions for the week. Those are the two we have. I don't think anything else came through. But I think what I was going to say is that next week's episode, sorry, I got distracted by a tweet. I pulled open
as
Instagram
one does.
To check questions. And then there was a thing of like, it's IGN and the director of Spider-Man saying like, why they changed this scene. I was like, oh, what did they change? Like, I have to see now that I finished the game. I got clickbaited so hard. next week's episode ain't happening because Alessandro's going to throw hands.
I don't know. I think we had grand plans to like record an episode in person. I don't know.
We will tentatively say it might happen, but I don't know.
It might. Yeah. I only arrive in the UK on Saturday. I only really have Sunday there to spend with good Matty and Lenska because then I leave London on Monday. It depends. Maybe we'll find an hour and do like a short podcast or something, not like no news and stuff like that. But there's no promises. That's what I'm saying. There's no promises.
Yeah. But in the event that does happen, apologies. We will be back the following week. I think we spoke about it. We'll even the following week. Well, we'll talk about it, but it's a thing of it's coming to the end of the year. So we'll not only do our Game Award predictions, we'll also do our actual Game of the Year discussion. And then we will be off for the duration of December and a week or two in Jan to have, I don't know if I'll say well-deserved. You guys can decide if it is well-deserved or not, but a long-awaited break.
Essentially, you're going to be coming here very early in December, and by then we want to be wrapped up. There might be a behind-the-scenes stuff where we record a bunch of evergreen episodes in advance, so like the Game Award predictions and our Game of the Year stuff. But I would bet on early December, the regular news-based, very current podcast to kind of end until the beginning of the new year. But there will be stuff. There will be stuff into like middle of December for you to enjoy for like end of the year stuff. So, but this is why I'm very, very stressed about Game of the Year because like there's like 2 or 3 weeks for me to catch up on shit before these discussions.
Bring your Switch and play.
Alan Wake is 20 hours. Mario Wonder is like 20
hours.
Alan Wake
20 hours. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was hoping for like a 50.
Tears
hour.
Of the Kingdom. I've still got like another fucking 60. So it's actually impossible. Like actually impossible.
You can talk about your favorite games without having to finish them. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a safe space. We make the
I love too. Spider-Man.
This is the only game you finished.
Yeah, exactly. Cocoon.
It's my game of the year, Spider-Man. Wow. That end.
Need more game of the year contenders that are 4 hours.
The credits. Amazing. Tears of the Kingdom. Never saw those. What a bad game. Man, hate to
say it. Never saw those. I still haven't. This is how far I am from Tears of the Kingdom. I still haven't unlocked a single fairy like
what?
Shrine thing. Because I haven't done the stupid quartet side mission.
I can't even be mad at you because I've played a lot more than you have. And I've only unlocked one of four. Because this isn't Breath of the Wild.
I found two of them. I just can't unlock them.
No, this isn't Breath of the Wild where you just roll up and go, hey, upgrade my gear. They go, no. I need to hear the sound of a flute played at midnight. You go, oh, okay.
You're like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
It's
weirdly specific, but okay. If I encounter a flute player in my journey, I'll bring them over. I've done that once. Okay, I've only unlocked one fairy. The other three are still like, I need a guitar. I need whatever the bloody instrument they want. Don't beat yourself up. Those quests are so obscure. Makes me mad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Makes me very mad.
There you go. That's episode 241.
241. If you do want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your game of the year lists. I want to read some of those. I want to know what people think is the best game of the year.
Tell us.
I want to see some weird choices.
Tweet us your game of the year predictions for who will be a game of the year nominee, or who do you think will just be game of the year winner. Tell us. We want to hear. Cool.
But yeah, other than that, this has been episode 241. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your support, and we may or may not be back next week. Who knows? If not, we'll be back the next week. So
TBC.
We'll tweet it out. Cool. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Goodbye. Bye.